Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula on Houston Sports Leader.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
Sports Radio 610.
I always am about to jump off sides with that intro. As soon as I hear the name, I'm like, all right, time to go. Nope, we got to make sure we let you know. It's in loop on Sports Radio 610. We're going around the NFL right now. This just came through, yesterday. And this is a huge thing to me. I do wonder if you also view it in the same way. Because I've been watching the space of private equity trying to get into sports. College football also is a big one as well. But the NFL has just voted to allow private equity interests to have ownership stakes in the NFL. And so that the highly anticipated vote ultimately leaves it to where up to 10% of an individual's team's equity can be purchased by private equity investors. And the thing about this is, like, they did limit it a little bit. I think only 8 firms as of right now would be able to be involved in this, so it would not be like fully out there. And then also teams would have to be in for 6 years, so it's not like you could go and start trading NFL ownership like stock. You know, this would be something where you'd have to get in and hold a little bit. But what are your initial reactions to the idea that NFL, in an attempt to bring even more money into what is a crazy cash cow, is now opening this up to not just, individuals as ownership or having ownership stakes, but also just private equity firms?
Yeah, 2 things jumped out at me when I saw the report of this, and now it is happening. So, number one, completely makes sense and completely predictable because franchises are so expensive now. There are a lot of billionaires in the world, and by a lot, I don't even know what that number, 1,000? 2,000, 10,000.
That's a question.
I don't know. I don't know. But it's a very limited number of billionaires. And within those billionaires is an even more limited number of billionaires that would have an interest in buying an NFL team.
Oh, shout out to Forbes for having a real-time billionaire
list. Let me guess. Guess how many billionaires there actually are in the world. I'm going to say 12,000. You got the number?
I am looking. I'm trying to actively scroll.
I'm going to say...
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Mackenzie Scott.
I'm going to say 15,000.
I'm scrolling.
Yeah.
On the 4. Because they actually have a list
as
here.
Of 2024. Shout out to AI, man. It came right. It popped right up.
Well, if you're using AI, I do wonder if it is actually correct.
We are both way high. Guess how many billionaires there are in the world. According to AI, anyway.
I know that there's at least probably...
5,000?
What do you think, Reggie?
Well, Wikipedia is telling me that 2,700?
2,781.
Yeah.
Damn. That's it?
So that's kind of my point on this. Mm. Like, that, there's a very limited number of billionaires, and within that 2,781, there's an even more limited number of those that would be interested in buying an NFL team. So if you're going to continue to exist and see the values of these organizations go up, you need private equity to bolster that, right?
In some way, sure. But I think that this is where Mark Cuban might eventually be vindicated, because I think he and would probably imagine that this would come a little bit further or a little bit sooner when he said that, hogs get slaughtered. Right.
Yeah,
The idea of like, hey, you get too big for your britches and ultimately you set yourself up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And look, now as you continue and look, they've always been trying to look for the money. They've been searching for the money and chasing that. But at what point does that become detrimental is the question there. And there's someone on the text line who seems to have a perspective that maybe is a little bit closer to where I generally am. From the 713, private equity in the NFL is basically encouraging more Jack Easterby situations. Private equity kills every industry it touches. This is not a good idea. That might be maybe a little bit extreme of the perspective on for me, but private equity does it. Like, they're always trying to squeeze as much money as possible out of an industry.
Yeah.
And that alignment or that particular perspective and end goal does not often align with the things that they're getting into, right? Yeah. I think for those of us that are in media, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen media companies, private equity comes in and their goal is to make money, and the media company's goal in theory is to provide good content or whatever. And in trying to squeeze out value, they squeeze out the mission of that thing and leave it crippled from where it was. NFL, I do wonder, like, is there more efficiency to be done within the NFL? Because that's what private equity is going to demand and want from this, is squeezing out more value. And I'm wondering, how much more value can you squeeze out from an NFL product?
Well, I'm glad he texted that from the 713, because that leads directly to my second point on this. Number one, you had to get private equity for the reasons I just said. Number two, 10%. Remember that. They can only, private equity can only claim up to 10% of an NFL franchise.
For now.
Well, I think forever. Because because these owners, they hold on to the principal ownership 51% like grim death. Like sure. they hold on to that because these owners, it is the most exclusive club in sports outside of maybe some, you know, Premier League ownership groups, but nobody likes to talk about that.
Well,
it's true though. It's true.
Yeah.
But they hold on to 51% or more like grim death because it is that important to be in that club. So I don't think private equity is going to bolster the value of these teams and help supplement it. But I don't think these owners are ever going to say, yeah, we're going to give up control, because then the NFL won't want that either. Because the other text that we got is absolutely right. Private equity do strip a lot for profit.
Yes.
The NFL is never going to allow you to do that. They want these teams to organize, to get bigger and bigger, and the league to get bigger and bigger.
It looks good for the brand.
And it looks good for the brand, but they don't want you to strip profit from it. You know, so I think it's actually, I'm not trying to be the man here, but I think it's actually a very good idea for the NFL.
So what would that look like? I'm trying to learn. So what would that look like if a private, if somebody...
An equity firm?
Yeah.
Well, they would get up to 10%, and they could help, every bit of the bottom line.
You're just an... if you're not a primary... If you're not the primary owner of the team... You're basically an investor in the team. You put money in. And
so is this like a celebrity just all of a sudden?
No, it's a group of investors.
Okay.
It's a group of investors, and they're going to get profits like everybody, every other minority owner. It's basically just expanding minority ownership.
In some ways,
yeah. Which I think is good. And I say that because I think they're going to stay at 10%. Maybe they'll go a little higher, but never more than that.
I think that this could be a creep, and maybe this is like a future situation for the NFL where in the 10, 15 years, they're going to have to combat with the idea of, hey, we need to be a little bit careful about how much we allow private equity to ultimately become the deciding factor. Because, again, interests are what we're talking about. And when with private equity, and this is where you're coming in, Fig, the only interest that binds the group of people that have put in on the equity firm is making money.
Yes.
At least when you have owners of teams, there's different interests involved. Sometimes there, a lot of times there's civic pride that's an interest involved. Obviously making money is ego. One of those, but ego is another one.
Yeah.
There's other interests that are involved. I think my thing with the problem with private equity is that it ends up being bottom line driven entirely, to the point where sometimes that we know if you're strictly bottom line driven, that can take you to some unsavory places at times. So this is an interesting step, and what in the immediate term, it's going to mean more money for the NFL, which look, great for those people who are invested who can make advantage of that. I'm always interested from the fan perspective, what does this mean? And in the meantime, I don't think it means a lot, but I do worry if in the future it could possibly mean that fan interests and those types of things are not taken into account as much because of the profits.
Yeah, and I like this topic. It's kind of in the weeds, but I like it. I think it's important to the NFL. From the 713 said, my comment fell flat for him because Mark Cuban sold his stake but was allowed to keep running the team. This isn't going to be good. Mark Cuban didn't sell to a private equity firm. He sold to a billionaire.
Yeah, and bigger billionaire, money.
A bigger billionaire. So this is not private equity. It was completely different.
Yeah, and then also, like, Mark Cuban is now a minority owner. Mm-hmm. Right? That's basically what happened there. And that's and maybe I'm making too much of this. I always have to be very careful about towing that line, because I'm one of those people that can look at things and be like, oh, well, where is the doomsday within this, right? It's possible that this is just more of the people at the top that are rich make more money and everything keeps rolling along as is, which I think you're kind of establishing in some ways.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am.
So we'll see how that ultimately goes, but the NFL has stepped into that place where they're allowing private equity interest. Now, where this could get interesting is sovereign money going to be able to be involved? So something like the public investment fund in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Now, how does that then get involved? Do you have the Saudis getting involved in NFL, because again, this is another marketplace that makes, that seems to be making money hand over fist.
Sure.
And then you get into like the public relations of
that's
Saudi
all it
Arabia
is, though.
Involved in those.
That's all
things.
It is, though, is public relations. As long as they stay at 10%, and rest assured, if I had to predict, the answer to your question is yes. Yes, the Saudis will be involved as long as it stays 10%. I think the NFL is gonna or thereabouts. The NFL is going to be more than fine.
All right, I'm going to cut us out of the weeds now. We were definitely very far in.
I like those kinds of discussions.
Yeah, I do as well.
Me too.
Yeah, I like those.
Probably save it for a podcast. But,
y'all want to laugh a little bit?
Let's laugh.
So the obviously we have, you know, cut down situation. So, you know, general managers are in front of the media. In fact, Nick Caseri was in front of the media. We'll hear a little bit of that coming up next. But right now, George Payton, who is the general manager of the Broncos, stepped forward and he was talking about various things, including one of his quarterbacks, rather. Obviously, Bo Nix won the starting gig, but the question was whether they would keep Jarrett Stidham and or Zach Wilson on the initial roster, release one. They kept all three. And in trying to explain that, Payton said, "We think highly of the quarterback room. I really like the process. I thought the competition brought out the best in really all of the quarterbacks. All these guys support each other. They compete. They work well together, so on and so forth." He also went as far as to say that Zach Wilson has starter traits all over.
What? Say that again.
George Payton said that quarterback Zach Wilson, yes, that Zach Wilson that was seeing ghosts, the one that was, oh no, the seeing ghost was Sam Darnold, but it was with the Jets and looked kind of woeful last season, all those things. He has starter traits all over.
I mean, maybe they misquoted him. He said he has starter traits all over against the Texans. Because that's the only time he looked like a starter.
Nah, he looked great against the Texans,
awesome,
man.
He looked awesome against the Texans. But no, yeah, that's one of those where, you know, you just got to laugh. And oh, by the way, you're probably going to hear that again tomorrow.
Why is that?
We might have cap or no cap tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Excellent. We mentioned yesterday, and okay, I'll put a dollar in here for this. It's just a news note, but whatever. The Cowboys had Dalvin Cook into whatever. I'll pay for it. They had Dalvin Cook into work out. They ultimately will sign him, and so they add yet another old dude to the running back.
The Washateria, man.
The Washateria?
Down the Washateria. Yeah.
Does the way that they're having to handle their running back room make you feel just a little bit better about the way that this running back room is?
Yes, absolutely. it makes me remember the days of Alfred Blue and all that here, where you're like, what do they see in this cat?
Nah, that's looking like David Johnson.
Or David Johnson.
Yeah. Man, there's been
some bad ones.
It's a running back situation, baby.
Hey, look who you're talking to, man.
Buddy. So, shout out to the Cowboys, making sure to hold down that worst running back.
They're coming at you with Zeke and Dalvin Cook, baby.
Man.
Been great 4 years ago. Just a great running back room in 2020. How about this? Figgy, you mentioned this, but I had not realized it. Some of the oddities that can happen during cutdown days, you can see some funny things. Speaking of running back rooms, in your hometown of Cleveland, how many running backs do the Cleveland Browns have, Fig?
These dudes got two.
Now, how many quarterbacks?
They got four quarterbacks. These dudes got four quarterbacks, two running backs, and those two are not Nick Chubb.
Yeah, it's innovative. It's an innovative approach is what it is. What in the hell is going on in Cleveland?
Man.
You talk about somebody that's going to have to work the waiver wire or answer some questions. Like, wait a minute. You got four quarterbacks on the roster and two running backs?
If you got four, what's that old saying people always say?
If you got two starting quarterbacks, you got none.
Yeah,
if you got two, you got none. If you got four, you got problems.
And see, I know we was kind of making a big deal about Davis Mills, who looked good, and Tim Boyle and all that. Dog, I'm perfectly fine with having two quarterbacks on the roster, man. That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
If you look at some of the best teams in the league that have the best quarterbacks, they have two quarterbacks, the starter and the backup. So for the simple fact they got three backups, that is crazy.
Do they feel like they can have, I don't know, Dorian Thompson Robinson or Tyler Huntley tote the rock or something? Are they playing special teams? That's the question to ask, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man, we got four quarterbacks.
Is Jameis playing running back?
He might.
That reminds me of early Tampa days when they had Jameis out here running the zone read because of racism. Like, I can only call it racism because I don't know how you watch Jameis Winston's big, slow, lumbering ass and thought, You know what we got to do?
Yeah.
Run him.
Thought he could run the ball.
Yeah, no, God, no.
I never looked at him like that.
And I'm not going to lie, a little mini confession here early. I had to look up who the two running backs were. I had no clue.
Yeah.
Jerome Ford. Pierre Strong Jr.
Yeah. No, those are not starting running backs at all.
Best of luck to that team, I guess. Another year where they ask the defense to carry what they're doing there. Mm-hmm. So good luck to Kevin Stefanski and them. So there you go. I thought that was a fun oddity when it comes to cutdown day.
Yeah, it was.
Nice to have a little bit of context on what's happening here with the Texans when you look at it and you're like,
we over here complaining about too many running backs. They got barely none. Yeah.
Barely any.
I'm like, y'all ain't keep Deontay Foreman.
That's why it was weird.
There was definitely some more oddities when it came to cutdown day. Maybe we'll circle back around and talk about those a little bit later. But some of the things is like quite a few kickers cut, especially kickers that were drafted. Andres Carlson with the Packers, Chad Ryland with the Patriots. So two of the three kickers that were drafted last season cut by their teams, which it makes you look around and go, hey, man.
We're all right.
We started having these kickers being drafted a little bit more highly. Is that something that we need to reevaluate when it comes to how people go about draft?
Totally agree. I think you can always find them. Now there's going to be the occasional, you know, superstar kicker, but that is very rare.
There you go.
Very rare.
That's Around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. We took a little bit of time, but that private equity thing really.
I like that.
It gets under my skin, that, man.
We got in the weeds, baby. We acted like we knew all about that
business. Should do it more often, man.
Yeah, right. And I have not run business the first. So take that, I guess, with a grain of salt. Yeah. Coming up next, though, a man who is handling his business, Nick Caserio. He got the roster cut down to 53 yesterday, and he stepped in front of the media earlier today. What were our takeaways from what he said? We'll find out next.